Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, all you have to do is watch the medical ads on television for the various solutions to know that the issues of gastroenterology are just huge. I mean, there are a lot of people who suffer from heartburn.
Yes, that's right. You know, heartburn is just one of the common, pathologies that we encounter. But the reality is that, you know, medicine's moving in a direction to become more and more minimally invasive. And with that, we're doing more and more with endoscopy to kind of diagnose and treat, you know, patients with common GI disorders or even advanced GI disorders.
Do you recommend that at some point in your life you should have, if people have acid reflux or these constant issues, that they have a professional like yourself take a look down your throat? What's going on?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there was, just this past weekend at the Pennsylvania Society of Gastroenterology, we discussed, you know, the importance of screening individuals with chronic reflux to rule out pathologies such as what we call Barrett's esophagus, which is a changing in the lining of the esophagus that can predispose to the development of esophageal cancer. And so, you know, with endoscopy now, we have actually the opportunity to investigate that, not only diagnose it, but potentially treat it or prevent it from developing.
For those who haven't been attached to this in some way with a relative or a friend who has it, what is acid reflux?
No. Acid reflux, you know, everyone has some form of reflux. You know, we call it, acid that comes up, essentially upper moving brain sensation into your chest. But those that are really symptomatic from it, we call that gastroesophageal reflux disease. And over time, that can actually injure the esophagus. Ooh. And it can lead to changes in the lining of the esophagus itself.
And can be a precursor for cancer development. And I've seen that firsthand. And undiagnosed acid reflux can be the genesis of that, correct?
That's right.
What are the treatments? Because most people go to the over-the-counter, they go to the Rolaids or Tums. They start there, and
You're mentioning those, let's just ask about the controversy swirling around Zantac. Should we be taking it or not?
That's a really good question. You know, I think some of the recent data is a little bit worrisome about some of the components within Zantac itself. I've cautioned my patients against it right now. The reality is that that class of medication also patients develop tolerance to, and it doesn't necessarily prevent the acid from forming. Therefore, we've gone the route over the last decade of using proton pump inhibitors, which essentially block the acid from forming.
Ooh.
Things like Protonix or Nexium or Prilosec.
And I've heard caution against long-term use of these things, too. They're at least initially supposed to be short-term remedies. What do you do if you have long-term issues? Well, how can you fix it?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. So, you know, with reflux disease, there are some long-term issues with treating with proton pump inhibitors. We've heard all kinds of associations, but the real main significant long-term cause and effect pathology that we've seen is a small increased risk of developing osteoporosis. And I think it's really important to consult with your physician always to talk about that potential risk of developing osteoporosis. If you're at risk for that because of other pathologies, it might make sense to consider an anti-reflux intervention.
And back to the point of Larry's question before, if you're self-medicating, if you're eating Tums like they're candy, at what point should that be a red flag that you're doing too much of that?
Yeah, I think at any time you're having symptoms, we really shouldn't self-medicate. We should always consult our physicians. because at the end of the day, if you're having a symptomatology that's requiring you to purchase something that's not generally within, preventative health, then I think in that scenario, we've got to kind of consult our physician and let them make the decision as to whether you should have an upper endoscopy to evaluate for any significant pathologies.
We're with Dr. Sham Tucker, and Doctor, understand this week, actually, what, you started on Monday, and you opened a new advanced endoscopy center, a state-of-the-art 13,000-foot facility with all the latest technologies, correct?
That's right. You know, as we were talking about, you know, whenever you have these GI-related issues, and with the way medicine's going, you know, we kind of envision the ability to do more endoscopically. And it's no longer just a procedure where we screen, diagnose, but we actually treat and oftentimes remove pathologies that otherwise had required surgery previously. So we opened this new center. It's six procedure rooms with a command room and with an ability to have 18 patients at once running through the center, and it allows us really to extend our reach with what we do endoscopically and develop the highest level of efficiency and quality while we do it.
Well, we should mention before you go that you go in the other way too. And
what
age
you're going the
you
other way?
Colonoscopy. What age should you start getting colonoscopies?
Yeah, so you should start with screening colonoscopies if you have no risk factors at the age of 50. Now, if there's a family history of colon cancer, then certainly we should start earlier. Or if there's any syndromes that run in the family that can put the patient at risk, it should start earlier. Or depending on your background, it may need to start earlier as well. The vast majority otherwise start at the age of 50.
There's no oscopy that starts at the top and comes out the bottom.
No, but some people have both procedures at the same time. Don't they, Doc?
That's right.
Seriously?
That's right. We may do an upper endoscopy and a colonoscopy at the same time. And actually, that's somewhat beneficial because it gives an opportunity to kind of get two in one and not necessarily have to come back for a second sedation, you know?
And so, we should point out there are
two
different instruments for that. I'll point that out.
Well, and they meet in the middle, right?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
Dr. Sham Tucker, Allegheny Health Network, Director of Endoscopy, state-of-the-art gastroenterology laboratory, and appreciate your time, Doc. Thank you.
No, thank you guys for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.